विशुद्धानि। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। This morning I will address a question that's been sent to me by Saurabh Sarama. Subject, strategic partnership among all Vaishnava Sampradayas. He opens by saying, Hare Krishna Maharaj. Well, according to Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, we shouldn't open with Hare Krishna. In a letter, because then you become the Namopadeshta. A Namopadeshta means you're instructing others. So it's like saying, if you come up to a senior and say Haribo, or you have what they call the traditional welcome, although it just started a few years ago, of calling out Haribo, but then you're telling, you're giving, you're instructing. So you shouldn't instruct unless you're in a position to do so. Anyway, that's another point. Dandavat Pranam, you have made frequent contacts with acharyas of various Vaishnava Sampradayas. I feel very inspired by your preaching in this area. Gaura Keshava Prabhu, a disciple of Prabhupada who has a home at Sri Rangam, mentioned to me, before coming to the West, he, Srila Prabhupada, wrote to Vishvamba Goswami, his friend, that means Prabhupada's friend, Radharaman Temple Goswami and former Vrindavan mayor, that he, Srila Prabhupada, wanted to start an organization wherein Vaishnavas from all Sampradayas could cooperate to push on Krishna consciousness. Of course, ultimately, ISKCON was born out of this desire. We do not know exactly how inclusive or exclusive of other types of Vaishnavas and their philosophies and traditions ISKCON will eventually become, should be eventually become. So, end of quote. And Saurabh says, I wanted to know if you envisage any form of strategic partnership among all the Vaishnava Sampradayas, since at present we just have issue-specific or individual-level contacts. Om Agyanati Mirandhasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Nilitam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Srishtam Manamapi Shachiputram Atrasurupam Rupam Tasyagrajam Urupuri Maturim Goshtamatim Radha Kundam Girivaramaho Radhika Madhavasham Prapto Yasya Pratita Kripaya Sri Guru Mitam Natosmi Vandeham Sri Guru Shriyatav Paragamalam Sri Guru Nivaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Rakunatan Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parajana Sahitam Krishna Taitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakam Vitamstra. In the quoting Gaur Keshava Prabhu, who's quoting Prabhupada, the quote says that Srila Prabhupada wanted to start an organization wherein Vaishnavas from all Sampradayas could cooperate to push on Krishna consciousness. And then in the question from Saurabh, the question from Saurabh says that I wanted to know if you envisage any form of strategic partnership among all the Vaishnava Sampradayas. So there's a difference between Vaishnavas from different Sampradayas coming together and Sampradayas coming together, because a Sampradaya is not... This picture is upside down. Why is that upside down? Don't keep pictures of Krishna upside down. A Sampradaya is not like something like the Roman Catholic Church, where it's a clearly defined body with a clear leader and authority structure. Within the sampradayas there are different groups. So when we say sampradayas come together to work together, it can only be Vaishnavas from different sampradayas who come together, because a sampradaya as a whole cannot make a decision, because they're all separate. Just like in Madhva Sampradaya, there are the Ashtamat. There are eight mats, and then there are three others also. So there are the Madhva Sampradaya, although they're not, it's not kandit, it's not broken up, but they work together somewhat, and then they have their own ways of doing things also. So it's not that one person or even a group can come together and decide on behalf of all of them that we will do this. Similarly in Ramanuja Sampradaya there are various jiyas who all subscribe to the same philosophy basically, but of course within the Ramanuja Sampradaya there are two major, there's one major schism which took place some few hundred years ago. And nowadays that difference between them is not much. They don't emphasize the difference. Not that they've resolved their difference, it's just because no one's interested in philosophy anymore. So it doesn't make any difference to them. It's not that they're unified, it's that they're just all dissipated and just life is going on. Kalai no ba in the marriage advertisements. You know what that means. No one else knows what it means. Anyway, no need to explain that. So, then in Nimbark Sampradaya is not much going on anyway. And they have two major gadis also, or centers. And Vallabh Sampradaya also, they have various gadis with different Mukhyajis, the chief priest in each place is known as the Mukhyaji. Gadi. Seat, literally means seat. So that means the Mukhyaji at Nathdwar is prominent, the one in Bombay is prominent, in Baroda, Vallabh Sampradaya, Baroda Gosais are quite prominent, but as far as the people of Baroda are concerned, they hardly know anything about them. So it's really not that much going on. Then if you want to take the definition of Vaishnava further, there are also Ramanandis who are Vaishnavas but with an admixture of Mayavad. And this bhakti Vilas Tirtha Maharaj of the Chaitanya Mart in Mayapur, he was used to organize all India Vaishnava conferences, and people would come. They'd also invite Swami Narayan, so followers. So people would come and then they'd go back again, and nothing practical. So the way, whatever is going on at the present time, whatever is going on, is that individual Vaishnavas from various sampradayas, they may come together for some festival or something like that. But preach together, that would be nice. Even within our Gaudiya Vaishnava sampradaya, there are so many divisions and this and that. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he predicted that all the sampradayas would merge together in the Brahma sampradaya by Harinam Sankirtan. And practically we're seeing that to some extent, that people from Vaishnava backgrounds, traditional families who are in the various Vaishnava sampradayas. And many times we see that people who are born in such traditional families, they become initiated in ISKCON because they're attracted to Vaishnavism by their culture and background, but they find more actual life, spiritual life, in the Sankirtan movement. So they, what they're looking for, it may be difficult to what people want. If they want the Vaishnava life, they may find it better in our ISKCON. And our ISKCON can also look to these traditional Vaishnava sampradayas in so many ways, for philosophical understanding, procedures, vidhis, that means. And also to look at the, for those who are actually following, to see the traditional culture. Because our movement, just by the very nature that it was born in America, it grew up in the most unlikely place, in a place where there's no Vedic culture or Vaishnava culture. And Prabhupada had to make so many adjustments, but some people think that those adjustments, that's like the eternal standard, that it should always be, because, I mean, if we want to be frank about it, Prabhupada's disciple, Prabhupada himself said so many times, his Western culture is just cats and dogs culture. So, I'm speaking here, we as meaning Western disciples of Prabhupada, we came from a background of completely sub-animal life. So, what Prabhupada allowed is not necessarily what he desired for all future generations to follow. So we can also learn from the various Vaishnava sampradayas. I often thought that it would be very suitable for our ISKCON society by serving the previous acharyas, as Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur at Mayapur. He established the deities of the four sampradayas, the Vaishnava acharyas. He established those deities around the altar of Gandharvika, Giridhari, Radha, Krishna. And he also personally, he visited Udupi, the main seat of the Madhva sampradaya, Srirangam and Tirupati, the main seats of the Sri Vaishnava Sampradaya. He visited Nathdwara, the main seat of the Vallabh Sampradaya. And also in Bombay he met the head of the Vallabh Sampradaya there. He went to Salimabad, which is one of the two main Nimbaka seats. So, I often thought that it would be suitable for our ISKCON to have centers in all the main places of these sampradayas. Not to compete with them, but to serve the deities established in those places and to serve the acharyas in those lines and worship Gaur Nithyananda. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited so many holy places, and Nityananda Prabhu also visited. So I often, of course, we do have a center in Srirangam, but Hare Krishna, and in Udupi, and my comment about that is also Hare Krishna. They could be doing better. So that would be in Nathdwara. It would be very good for us to have a center. We got so. Generally in all these places, the people, they have a Vaishnava background and they welcome our devotees. We found in Nathdwara, if we do Harinam in these places, people appreciate it much more than in other places because they have that tendency and to appreciate Vaishnavas. That's a Vaishnava quality, that they do appreciate that. So they seem to be more willing to accept us in some ways than we are willing to accept them. But yes, it's good. We should reach out and share the gifts of Mahaprabhu know, Harinam Sankirtan. Not, we should never try to force it on them or try to say that we're superior. Or, because in many ways, like I say, culturally, they have hundreds of years of history, whereas our ISKCON society is just new. So we have much to learn from them. So as officially as a sampradaya, as we can come together, I doubt it. Because, like I say, sampradayas themselves are diverse. Even within our, you know, people have gone away from ISKCON, and then some devotees are talking about accommodating them back within ISKCON, and then there are opponents to that, so there may be philosophical differences, or in many cases it's personal differences. So it will come, as I was discussing with one of my sannyasi godbrothers recently, about accommodating members of our society who have gone away and formed their own groups or joined different groups, that accommodation is likely to come more from individuals within ISKCON rather than from the official level. It's more, and that's already happening actually. So then there are others who are very much against, like especially from the Madhva side. We have the Cyber Madhva army, who they're mostly Madhva Brahmanas who have gone to America, or they've gone to, they're software professionals, brainy people. South Indian Brahmins are usually brainy people. So they take the tradition, it's actually the traditional Madhva stance of, well, if you don't accept Madhva, then you're just completely nonsense. So that is Madhva's stance, actually. I mean, that is the traditional stance in the Madhva Sampradaya. How meaningful that is in the modern age is another question. But they're like very much against ISKCON and very much against anything and everything which is not exactly agreeing with everything that Madhva said. Of course, within themselves, they all have differences as to what the meaning of what Madhva said. But there are a few people like that. But we find generally they're very open and accommodating to us, like I say. That was about 2 years ago. We had on the open stage there in Udupi a public program. And that was before his pariyai, Lakshmivara Tirtha, he came. And also there are so many as we can see. The Sugunendra Tirtha, he also was very welcoming to us and very, very happy to meet us. He said that if anyone bows down to him in the street, he knows they must be ISKCON devotees. As the ISKCON devotees are trained to bow down to sannyasi.